You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
Right. Turn with me in your Bibles to John, the 15th chapter. We'll start in chapter 15 of the book of John. You know, we started a series several weeks ago on a Wednesday night, and this is what we've been doing. We've been teaching a series on Sunday mornings and a series on Wednesday night. Whether you've noticed it or not, there's a different crowd on Wednesday nights than there are Sunday mornings. So it would be just a little fruitless to teach a series from Sunday through Wednesday through Sunday, because you'd spend all your time reviewing Wednesday for the, 75% of the people that weren't there, not to mention anything about the size of the crowd tonight, Sunday morning. So we've been teaching on joy on Wednesday nights. Yeah, and I can tell it's really taken. Yeah, boy, making an impact on you. No, joy is something that God's serious about. He wants us to have it. And I think many times we think of Christianity as being grave and solemn. And I think there are some solemn parts to Christianity in the sense that hell is a very serious, serious business. There is a hell and to shun. But there's a heaven to gain. And when the angels appeared to the shepherd, on that wonderful night we just celebrated, the other night, we celebrated at Christmas and Christmas Eve. Some 2,000 years ago, the angels appeared to the shepherds and said, "Behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people." Christmas should be a time of joy. In fact, the kingdom of God, according to Romans 14, verse 17, says the kingdom of God is not meat or drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. And Galatians tells us one of the fruit of the Spirit, one of the fruits of the Spirit is joy. Joy is one of the fruits of the Spirit. So that should be something that's evident in us. As Christians, we ought to be joyful. Oh, we have sorrow. We have, crisis. There are times to weep. Weeping may endure for the night, but joy comes in the morning, the Bible says. Amen. And the Word, God's Word, should give us hope. It should give us faith. It should give us courage, and it should bring us joy. Amen. In fact, believing it will bring us joy. Romans 15, verse 13 says, "The God of all hope and comfort fill you with joy and peace in believing." There's that connection, in believing. How does he fill us with joy? In believing. Amen. And Peter says, 1 Peter says this, he says, "Though you see him not, yet believing you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory." So believing God and trusting God will bring joy. Joy is not happiness per se. Everybody wants to be happy, but happiness has to do with what's happening. That's where we get the word happy from. We're not talking about happiness, which is kind of a circumstantial thing, and that's good. I'm all about that. I'll take happiness too. But happiness is contingent on what's happening, and things that happen in life aren't always good. So if you're going to live your life just trying to recreate happiness or just be happy, you're in for a roller coaster ride, because it's up and down, circumstances change. Are you with me? Some days it's sunny, some days it's icy. I was just talking to Kendall. He went out to see his parents over the holidays in Wichita Falls. Yep. And it's about a two-hour drive from where he lives over in Irving, over in that area, yep, North Dallas. And it took him 2 days to get there the other day. Remember where all that storm came through on Christmas Eve day? Well, that was Kendall trying to make it to see his parents. So he probably wasn't real happy that day, because of what was happening. But joy is not. Joy has nothing to do with that. Joy comes from inside. Happiness comes from the outside. And if we'll get into the Word of God and get the Word of God in us, if we'll dig into it and find out what God has to say about us, we're important. Hey, we've got a bright future. Things can turn around. Things will turn around. Facts will change. Truth will change the facts. Circumstances change. This day will change. It'll change into the next one, But we win this deal. Praise God. We've got reason to rejoice. We have great tidings of great joy, which is to all people. And we can create that atmosphere or the environment of joy. Joy comes from within. I can start praising God, thinking about what God has to say, and going over His Word. And, I can just recreate that joy. This morning, Brent and I were going to Dallas, and I was going over some of the scriptures on joy, just preaching to her on the way up there, which I do very often when I'm driving around. And I was just going over scripture after scripture. And boy, I was getting excited. I mean, my whole attitude began to change just in going over the scriptures and praising God. because it came from within. It comes from inside. So I want to look at some of the things Jesus said. Let's notice some things Jesus said about joy. Now think about joy. In His presence is fullness of joy. Psalm 16:11 tells us that. In His presence is fullness of joy and life forevermore. When we get to heaven, He's going to say, enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Isn't that right? Heaven is a joyful place. It's not a solemn place. It is a joyful place. In fact, there's only silence up there, as far as we can tell, for 30 minutes. That's when God takes all the men up and leaves the women down here.
Wow.
That went over real big. Okay, I'm just kidding. Now, look, I'm just see if you're awake out there. But there's only, in book of Revelation, we know there's 30 minutes of silence waiting for one of the plagues that come upon earth. But there's a lot of activity in heaven, a lot of noise in heaven, a lot of joy in heaven. I believe Jesus was a joyful person. We have His interchanges with people. He had a magnetic personality. People were drawn to Him, the publicans and the sinners. They followed Him and repented and turned their lives around. He gave them hope. They felt like they could make it, that they could make a change in their life. He didn't condemn them. It was the religious people that were all upset with Him and mad. Are you with me? Because He spent too much time with these sinners, reaching out to these sinners. Well, their lives were changed. They realized they didn't have to live that way anymore.
That's right.
They found out God was more than just law, that God was love.
Yes.
See, all they heard was the law. And Jesus comes along, and now they get the truth.
Yep.
The law was never the truth of God. God is holy. We know that. God doesn't like sin. We understand that. But He doesn't like sin, and He doesn't like you sinning because He loves you. He's crazy about you. Absolutely crazy about you. And so they got around Him. And I mean, I believe there was joy. There was laughing. There was all. I mean, He was a joyful person. He had a purpose, sure. There were times to be solemn, sure. But we read many times what He says without any fluctuation of speech or any emotion. And I just don't see the Bible. That's not what all the Scripture tells us about heaven is a joyful place. The joy of the Lord is our strength. You know, Jeremiah said, that was Nehemiah 8:10, the joy of the Lord is our strength. Now, Jeremiah said in Jeremiah 15:16, he says, thy words were found, and I did eat them, and they were the joy and the rejoicing of my heart. Wow. He got all excited when he found the word and ate the word, as it were. And then, of course, Isaiah 55, verse 10 and 11, I know you were thinking about that when I said that. Isaiah 55:10-11 says, as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven waters the earth and makes it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it'll prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. And the next verse says, and you shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace, and the mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into the singing, and the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Wow. Can you say wow?
Yep. Wow.
Man. As a result of the word, it just changes the way you go out. You go out with joy because of the word. Hallelujah. Y'all found John 15? Let me see if I can find it. John 15. I love this. This is Jesus speaking here. This is written in red. You can believe it. Notice what it says here. And we know this verse in the seventh verse here. It's real plain. It says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will and it shall be done for you. And we could have a camp meeting on that right there. You're not in a box. You're not helpless. You're not hopeless. You can pray. Hallelujah. You can pray. And you know what? God will move. He won't say no. If it's His will, if it's His word, if you have His promise, He's not going to say no. He's going to do what He says. He's going to help you. He's a God that helps and comforts and strengthens. And it says here, if you abide in me. Now see, that takes some time. Spend some time with God. God's interested in a relationship with you. He's interested in you calling in every once in a while. Saying hello. You know, when's the last time you talked to God? When's the last time you had a set to? You know, sat down and just really talked to God and opened your life up to Him and asked Him to help you and guide you and lead you and tell Him you love Him and, you know, and praised Him. And when's the last time you done that? You say, well, I love Him. Well, you know, you love your wife, but you go home every day, don't you?
What?
See, prayers, you love your wife. That means you go home every day, right? You love God. Prayer's like calling home. You know, it's like checking in. I think sometimes we say, well, I love God. But we've hadn't prayed. No, don't know how long we've prayed. It's been so long. You know, we ought to pray. We ought to talk to Him. Talk to Him throughout the day. Ask Him for help and, you know, and tell Him you love Him. You love God? Well, He said, abide in me. Abide in me. And then He says, my words and my words abide in you. Well, get in His Word. Find out more about His will, what He desires, what He wants. What He likes, what He doesn't like, what He wants you to do, what He doesn't want you to do. You know, get in His Word. And He says this, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you will. I love that. Your will change completely. And you won't be asking the wrong things. You will ask the right things because you've been in His presence and you know what His Word says. And you know what? You will get what you ask for. Not sometimes no, sometimes yes, sometimes wait a while. Now that sounds real religious, and it is. It's very religious. It's not scriptural, but it's very religious. God sometimes says yes, sometimes says no, sometimes wait a while. I love that. But that's not a verse. There's nowhere in the Bible that says that. There's not a scripture that says that. But it sounds very religious. Well, you know, when it's your time to go, it's your time to go. That sounds pretty good too, but there's no scripture that says that. Not even close. Doesn't it say it's appointed to man a time to die? No, it says appointed to man once to die. So you have this assurance. You're not going to be dying a bunch of times. You're just going to die one time. But it doesn't say you have appointed time to die. We say all kinds of things that are just religious, but they're not scriptural. Amen. What about prayer? Well, according to the Bible, which is a new concept, we ought to go to the Bible and find out what God says. If you abide in me and your words abide, His words abide in you, you will ask what you will or desire, and everybody say it. It being what you ask, it shall be done for you. Woohoo! It being the thing you ask. Now, understood, you're going to spend a time with Him and you're in His Word, you're asking what His Word promises. But if you ask that, then it will be done. And He goes on and says, by this my Father's glorified. Whoa, wait a minute. Now, wait a minute. Whoa. Y'all with me? Okay, just bear with my antics here. How is God glorified? By answered prayer. Isn't that what He's saying? By this is my Father glorified. Now, this is Jesus speaking. Now, let's don't add to, take away. Let's just let it speak for itself. So when I pray and nothing happens, well, God's just glorified by that too. No, He's not. He's glorified when I pray and something does happen. Well, if everything just, you know, falls all to pieces and nothing ever happens, God doesn't show up, He's still going to be glorified. Well, no, that's not what it says at all. It says He's glorified when I get what I ask for. In fact, it's real plain in the Bible when God was glorified is when the sick was healed and, you know, and the blind eyes popped open and people were saved and sins were forgiven. It says they glorified God. Hey, listen, we know there's a lot of bad things going on in the world. We've had them happen to us. Some of us are experienced it in our lives. Don't glorify God for what is bad. And we're not saying rejoice and be joyful for what is bad. I think we ought to rejoice and be joyful in the bad, but not for the bad. We rejoice in the good that He does, or for the good that He does, but we don't rejoice for the bad that the devil does. You don't see in the scripture people glorifying God in their pain, in their agony, in their sickness, but you do see them glorifying God when they got out of their pain, their agony, their sickness, they're delivered, and so on and so forth. I'm just telling you to look at the scripture and see what it says. God's glorified by victory. He's glorified by peace. He's glorified by joy. He's glorified by victory. He's glorified by repentance. He's glorified when you come out, and He's sure going to be glorified when you get saved, go to heaven. Amen. And He says, by this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you shall be my disciples. Everybody say fruit.
Fruit.
Now, the common standard interpretation here when people read this will say, well, that means people getting saved. Well, no question, when people get saved, that is fruit. But that's not what He's talking about here. What He's talking about here is answered prayer. Ask what you will, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit. The fruit of answered prayer. That's what He's saying here. There is fruit of salvation. There's fruit of people being saved. That's just not what He's talking about right here. Right here, He's talking about the fruit of answered prayer. Are you out there? Okay. I couldn't hear you. I thought you fell asleep. So he says, by this my Father is glorified that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy may be full.
Amen.
Woohoo! Yeah. Are you with me? So, how many of you are saved? You accepted Jesus. You got joy of salvation. That comes from Jesus in you. But it's interesting that that joy doesn't always remain in you. Oh, Jesus is in you. You're saved. Ever since you accepted Jesus, you've been saved, and you're washed in the blood, and you're a Christian. But sometimes you have to rekindle that joy. How do you get that joy to remain in you? Because he didn't say, these things have I written to you, they might have joy once. He's saying that my joy might remain in you. I think there's, and this is what I struggle with, and I know we all do, is that there, sometimes I'm more joyful than others. Hello, are you out there? Sometimes I feel like a nut, sometimes I don't. You know. Sometimes I have to work at it. But there are things that Jesus has given us to do to maintain that joy. For that joy to remain in me and not lose it. I have to get it back. Well, what is it? Abide in him. Get his word abiding in me. When time of need comes and you know, the crisis comes, ask. That's what he says. If you abide in me, my words abide in you. You'll ask what you will or you desire, and it, what you ask, will be done for you, for herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. Amen. Hallelujah. So the word, or in me, will maintain the joy of Jesus in me. And it says this, it says that your joy may be full, and it will bring full joy. God wants us to have full joy. He really does. Yeah, and there are times that we're going to weep with each other. There's time to weep with people and weep with those that weep and mourn with those that mourn. And we're not saying you don't have crisis. Of course you have crisis. But that is not the way God wants you to live your life. You are supposed to beat depression off. You're supposed to drive the darkness out of your life. You're supposed to come against it like a plague and like a cancer. You ought to fight it tooth and nail. And the way you fight it is get in the Word and start going over what God says about you. Start meditating on the love of God in your life. Start meditating on His Word and how He's so crazy about you and all the things He's done for you and your salvation. And praise God, you have recourse. I mean, you're not in a box here. You can get out of this mess. You can pray and God will help you. You've got a bright future. And just stir up that joy again. These things have I spoken unto you. Think about it. 11th verse. Powerful. This is powerful. I don't think we often get this. We just read through here. But Jesus literally spoke these things to us that His joy would remain in us. And that our joy might be full. Well, why did Jesus say all this? Let's read it again. These things I have spoken to you that for this intent, for this purpose. Why did he say this? That my joy might remain in you. Hallelujah, somebody. It is not the will of God you be depressed. It is not the will of God that you live in the, you know, the mully grubs, whatever that is. Brother Osteen used to say that, and I just picked it up. But I don't know what it is, but I know it must not be good. Okay. That you're down in the dumps, Blue Mondays, all those things. That you fall into a brown study. I'm using some old words here now, some old sayings. It is not the will of God that you get in that funk. And you can do it. You can work on it. You can make yourself miserable. You can close the door. You can not answer the phone. You can put on that blues music. You can think about how unfair life is. You can start watching the news and start thinking about where this world's going, you know, and what's happening. Are you with me? Or you could get over here and get in God's Word. You could start rehearsing the Word. Instead of rehearsing the curse, you can reverse the curse. Instead of rehashing the trash, you can take out the trash.
Amen.
And you can get in the Word and find out, hey, it's not so bad. In fact, it's pretty good. It's pretty good in Jesus. I'm alive. Praise God. I got a bright future. I'm going to heaven. Hallelujah. Glory. I got help. I got hope. I got answers. I got promises. Amen. Yeah. Woo. I'm not alone. Never been alone a day of my life since I got saved. Amen. Jesus has been with me, never to leave me nor forsake me. And Jesus said all this. You know, think about it. Jesus, he just had to come and die for your sins for you to go to heaven. That's all he had to do. But thank God he said some things while he was here. And he did some things while he was here besides that. If he didn't do anything, and he didn't say anything but go to the cross and die for your sins and rise again, you'd still be saved. But he did more than just that. He said some things. We've got a lot of his teaching right here, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And according to this, in John 15, he said these things so that his joy might remain in us and not go bouncing in and out of us like a yo-yo. Not contingent on circumstances and happenings, but we would have this joy remaining in us. Even in the tough time, we'd still have joy of Jesus because his word is abiding in us. Amen? And then we'd have full joy. Full joy does not come by anything in this life. There's no way. It doesn't come. You'll have moments of joy. Even people don't know Jesus have moments of joy. But that's all they have is moments of joy. If you want to maintain it, you're going to have to work on it. Take his word, put it in you, go over his promises, meditate on them, start talking, talk out loud, talk to yourself, that's okay. As long as you don't ask yourself questions like, you know, what'd you say? You're okay. As long as you're talking the word to yourself. These things have I spoken to you that my joy might remain in you and that your joy may be full. Notice the 17th chapter, John 17. Jesus still speaking here. This is actually an intimate conversation he had with his disciples, the 14th, 15th, 16th, and 17th chapter. 17th chapter, he's talking to God, and the 14th, 15th, 16th, he's talking to 11 of his disciples. And the 13th chapter is when Judas went off and betrayed him, remember, and sold him out for 30 pieces of silver. But in the 14th chapter, he begins to really intimately speak. This is at the Lord's Supper, what we call the Lord's Supper. And he's intimately talking to his disciples, and he's telling them some marvelous truths, awesome truths about prayer and about using the name of Jesus and about he's going to leave, but he's going to come back again. He's going to rise again. And it's just awesome stuff. I mean, 14th, 15th, 16th, real personal. And in the 17th chapter, he starts talking to God, real personal prayer to God. And it's fascinating here in the 17th chapter, he says this in the 13th verse. He says, "But now I come to you, and these things I speak in the world." He's saying, "I come to you, God, and but these things I speak in the world." See, he's talking to God, and he's telling God, he's saying, God his Father now. Jesus is God, too, but he's God the Son. He's talking to God the Father, and they are two different separate entities in the sense that there is a Father, there is a Son, and there is a Holy Spirit. They all make up what we call God. But it says, "But now I come to you, and these things I speak in the world that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves." Did y'all catch that? Hey, just it's the same thing he said over there in the 15th chapter, 11th verse, isn't it? So Jesus had a purpose in saying what he said. I wonder if we ever picked up on it. You know, when purpose is lost, abuse is inevitable. And I think what happens is we lost the purpose. We've gone over and quoted the words and even in sermons and messages and so on and so forth, but we've missed the point and the purpose of it. The purpose of Jesus' teaching is that we might have joy. It is not God's will that you be miserable all your life.
Right.
And like I said, there's going to be pain, there's going to be crisis. We understand that. We're in a broken, fallen world, and everything's not just right. But it's not God's will that you be miserable, that you be depressed, that you be in dismay, that you have lack of purpose and meaning. You have a reason for being here. You have someone that loves you and is for you. You have a God that's on your side. If you had a refrigerator, your picture would be on it. No question. I mean, he loves you and he wants to move on your behalf. He is waiting for you to call. He wants you to interact with him. You know, one of the things that we pray around here all the time and in the mornings when we in the office, we pray over our day and we'll say, we'll thank God. You know, I usually thank God for allowing us to be a part of what he's doing. because he has allowed us to be a part of it. He wants us to interact with him. He wants us to make a difference. He wants to move in our lives, and he's waiting for us to pray. I think it's just awesome that he didn't just do everything, but he does it through us.
That's right.
He's not looking for somebody to do something for him. He's looking for somebody to do something through.
That's right.
So you're not on your own. I mean, we're not, you know, his employees where he just hired us to go do a job for him. We're actually his people that he's moving through. But he's allowing us to be a part. We don't have to. We can say no. But if we say yes, praise God, what an honor. What a privilege to allow God, for God to allow us, you know, to be a part of what he's doing. Awesome stuff. Amen. And of course, in that prayer, we always thank God that no matter what we do, whether we're typing or whether we're answering the phone or on a computer or going out the warehouse, it comes down to souls. It comes down to people getting saved. It comes down to changed lives. That's why we do what we do. Amen. There's a reason. So Jesus said all this. God forbid you'd miss the point. Now, if you think Christianity is supposed to be solemn and sad, then you miss the point. Jesus is very plain in what he said, that his words were for the intent and purpose of bringing joy in your life. Full joy. Full joy. Everybody say full joy.
Full joy.
All right. From his word. Here's the struggle. Your focus. This is what the devil does. He tries to steal your focus. He tries to steal your attention. He tries to steal your time. He tries to steal your gaze, steal your mind, get you thinking on the problem, thinking on all the bad news. Because the good news is what's going to bring you joy, and it's the bad news that's going to keep you down, keep you beat down. Are you with me? Keep you under the gun, under the cloud, depressed, and it's only the good news that's going to bring you joy. Now, the good news is not a newspaper. The good news is what God says. This is the good news. Go ye into all the world and preach the good news to every creature. Hallelujah. And joy comes from the good news. God's very serious about joy. Joy is how we access God, in one sense. It's our strength. Nehemiah 8:10 says the joy of the Lord is our strength. So we'll weaken ourselves, obviously, by not getting in the Word and not stirring up that joy in us. It's amazing how bold you get when you're full of joy. It's amazing how your vision expands and your dreams increase when you get in joy. It's amazing how your creativity, I mean, it starts flowing, man, when you've got joy. You can make it happen. You can do it. We can make it. See, that's what Jesus produced. That's what people saw in him. That's what people got from him. That's why lives were so changed. That's why people drastically and dramatically changed their lives when they're around Jesus, because he brought joy everywhere he went. There is rejoicing in heaven over one soul, one sinner that is saved. Think about it. What do they do up there? You know, they don't put another notch in the gun, another one bites the dust. No. No, they have a party. They rejoice. Hallelujah. Joy, joy, joy. Turn with me to Psalms 100. God's very serious about joy. Amen. I want to go to Psalms 100. Yeah, let's go to Psalms 100. We'll go there. I was thinking about Isaiah. You know, Isaiah, the 12th chapter, says, with joy. Was it the 6th verse? With joy shall you draw water from the wells of salvation. There's your incentive. There's your motivation. There's your creativity. You'll draw water from the wells, plural, of salvation through joy. But if you're still down and depressed, you're not going to ask, and you don't even have a bucket. But joy is the bucket that draws from the wells of salvation. That's why the joy of the Lord is your strength. If you don't have joy, you give up. If you don't have joy, you don't ask. Isaiah 12:3. With joy shall you draw water from the wells of salvation. Isaiah 12:3. Man, I like that. Praise God, let's just pray about that. You know, when you're excited, you'll pray about it. When you're down, you don't. Man, I just, you know, I somebody come up and tell you, well, man, let's pray. You go ahead, whatever. You know, just pray. Well, I can tell you nothing's going to happen.
That's right.
You're going to have to get your joy back up, or you're not getting any, you're not making a connection here, see? You're not connecting here. Because if you really got it, if you really understood this, you'd start perking up because you know there's help and hope in the Word. If you really trust God, if you really believe God. Now, if you believe, the ultimate end of belief is joy. Amen? I mean, if somebody tells you they're going to do something, you believe it, you'll perk up. You know, somebody calls you and say you want $1 million, I think you'd probably, you know, throw the phone across the wall and dance out in the street and holler and scream and shout. You probably wouldn't say, oh, well, that's nice. You'd probably, you know, because the excitement of it, you believe it, you know. Somebody says they're going to help you, you get excited. Man, you sleep at night, you sleep better that night, and nothing's happened, but you know they're going to come help you. Just the knowledge of it, just the word, the good news brings joy. See, in God's word, it doesn't get any gooder than God, you know. And so God's word brings joy if you believe it. Now, let's back up. You can hear it and not believe it, it doesn't do anything. But if you hear it and believe it, it's going to cause joy. And it will bring strength to you.
Yes.
Your whole outlook changes. Your whole attitude, your whole vision, your dreams and your hopes start fanning the flame again. You start seeing it. I can make it. I can do this. Hallelujah. Joy, joy, joy. With joy you draw from the waters of salvation, from the wells of salvation. So here, notice this, and God's serious about it too. Isaiah, what did I tell you to turn to? Psalms 100.
Psalms 100.
Yeah, Psalms 100. I got them stacking up in the back of my head here. I can't get to all of them.
Amen.
Psalms 100. You should all know this. This is a psalm we often quote or often hear said or preached on at Thanksgiving because it talks about Thanksgiving. It says here in the first verse, make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. How are we supposed to serve God? With gladness. I love that. You know, Deuteronomy 28, verse 46 and 47 talk about how the curse comes upon them because they did not serve the Lord with joy and gladness for the abundance of all things. Wow. I'd say God pretty serious. That the curse actually came because they did not serve the Lord with joy for the abundance of all things. And over in Acts 2, starting at 42nd verse, it says they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowshipping and breaking of bread, going from house to house. And it goes on down to 46, 47th verse right in there, and it talks about they served him with gladness there. They served the Lord with gladness. Man, you'd think, you know, some churches, you'd think, and I'm pro-church. Thank God for churches. We're not criticizing. Are you with me? Thank God for Baptist, Methodist, Pentecost. We're pro-church. I'm just saying, some churches you walk in, and you know they don't get it. There's some churches that do. They should. We had a guy that and his wife came to our church years ago, and they used to go to another church in another city, and they actually had a plaque on the back of the pew when you walked in. It says, be quiet. Remember you're in church. And I thought, man, there ought to be a plaque back there saying, get loud.
Shout,
dance, holler, rejoice. You're in church.
Amen.
You made it. This is a place of joy. This would be a place of, it's like heaven's a place of joy. I mean, we're going to be awful, you know, nervous when we first get there. If we're not used to worshiping Him with joy, there's noise in heaven. There's excitement in heaven. And it says here, make a joyful noise. Joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Woohoo! Know that the Lord, He is God, and it is He who has made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter His gates with thanksgiving and enter His courts with praise. Be
Amen.
Thankful to Him and bless His name. Hallelujah, somebody.
Yes. Amen.
Oh, man. Why? For the Lord is good. And His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endures to all generations. Man. I mean, joy, I don't think we make enough of it. We don't talk much about it. We should. We don't emphasize so much about it. You know, when I started the series, I talked about a kingdom of joy, and we often talk about a kingdom of righteousness. I think all Christians would agree that that being born again, being saved, accepting Jesus as Lord and Savior has thrust us into righteousness. Now, we are now, you know, been made the righteousness of God. We don't have our own righteousness. We have the righteousness of God through the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ. There's only one way to heaven, and that's through Jesus Christ, whether you're Baptist, Methodist, Pentecostal, Catholic, whatever. If you accepted Jesus, then you're not going to heaven on your merit, your works, your goodness, your righteousness. You're going to heaven on His righteousness. So He did what we could not do. He made us righteous. Hallelujah. It is a kingdom of righteousness. And we'd often would say, no one would disagree with the fact that it's a kingdom of peace. You know, it's in me you have peace. In the world you have tribulation. In me you have peace, John 16:33. And Isaiah 26:3 says, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. He is the Prince of Peace. Peace comes from God. Are you with me? Be careful, anxious, fretful for nothing, Philippians 4:6 says, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. This is a kingdom of peace, and I think everybody would agree. But it does not stop there. It says the kingdom of God is not meat or drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Amen. How much have we meditated on the fact that this thing called Christianity, this kingdom called the kingdom of God, this thing called heaven is a place of joy? You wouldn't know it by looking at us.
Right.
We might agree to that or assent to that or say, yeah, I see that, but see, somebody needs to tell our face. Because I wonder sometimes if we're really getting it. You know, we of all people should be joyful.
Amen.
We of all people should rejoice, and we're eternal optimists. Listen, we're not going to beat this deal. We've already got this deal beat.
That's right.
It's 2,000 years ago, the victory was won. And we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. And we have the victory through Christ Jesus. And He always causes us to triumph in Christ. And we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. And greater is He that's in us than he that's in the world. Hallelujah. So, that's why He says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. All ye lands, serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who has made us and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Be thankful to Him and bless His holy name. For the Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endures to all generations. Why is all that in there? That our joy may be full. That's why. That His joy might remain in us, and that our joy may be full. Now, if you want real joy, full joy, if you want Jesus' joy, you've got to get this. Got to get it in you. Right. Got to meditate on it. Got to think on it. You got to pray. You got to seek God. You got to drive out some of those thoughts. You got to focus in on what He's doing, not what's going on in the world. Joy doesn't come from circumstances. Happiness does, but it'll leave that quick. Joy is not contingent on circumstances. Joy can be constant. Happiness cannot be. But joy can be.
That's right.
Joy comes inside. You can rekindle it. You can fan the flames. You can get back in it. You start feeling depressed, start getting down, hearing bad reports, get back in the Word. Get back in God's Word.
That's right.
Start stirring it back up and start coming before Him and singing. And you may start out in the flesh, but you'll wind up in the Spirit.
That's right.
You will. Lots of times I just didn't feel like praising God. I didn't feel like thanking God. I mean, I just plowed through, you know, and just thank you, Jesus, hallelujah, You're so good. God, You're good, You're good, You're good, You're good. You're so good. You saved me. Hallelujah. Thank You for life. Thank You for heaven. And then before long, you start getting into it. Man, you start, whoo, yeah. I mean, yeah, you start really getting into it, you know. You start praising. Before long, you know, you got to pull off on the side of the road, man. It's just getting too good in there.
Yeah.
It doesn't always start out that way.
Sure.
But you can create that environment.
Yeah.
You can change the atmosphere. You can humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, and He will exalt you. You can make a step toward Him. Draw nigh to me. I'll draw nigh to you. And you know what He'll do? He'll inhabit. The Bible says He inhabits the praises of His people. Woo! Hallelujah. So, what are you doing in the dumps? What are you being depressed for? Do something about that. Don't you put up with that. You kick that devil out of your house. Don't you pet that devil. When you have a pity party, two people show up, you and the devil. You kick that devil. You kick him out of the house, and you start praising God. And praise will drive him out. It will. He'll drive him right out of the house. Hallelujah. And have some joy, especially this time of year. Come on. This is not the time of year to be depressed.
That's right.
This is not the time of year to have your white Christmas turn blue. This is the time to rejoice at the great tidings of great joy that we have had. For unto us is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. Hallelujah. We got a Savior. Woo!